talk with mom, the host, Pam McPhee, and Mama Bell.
My turn to go.
Join us now for another cozy visit with stories and life lessons to tell. Here is your host, Pam
McPhee. Hey, welcome back to A Talk with Mom with me, your host, Pam McPhee, and I've already got Mama Bell here with me today. How's things going today, Mom?
Pretty good, Pam. Nice to talk to you again.
Are you excited to be doing our second official podcast?
I'm just wondering, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, you know, over the holidays, you had sent me a message and you had given me that email that was, I think you called it Lessons from Your Mom?
Oh, my mother's philosophy.
Yes, your mother's philosophy. I actually printed it off here, and I thought it might be kind of fun to talk about that. But let's give it some context. Do you remember when your mom was born?
What
year was your mom born?
Well, you know, I wasn't here when my mom was born. That's a silly question, but anyway.
No, I'm asking, when was your mom's birthday?
She told me that... she was 21 when I was born. So she was a very young mother.
So she was born in 19...
Oh, let's not talk about age.
No. Okay, why can't I do that math? I can't do math and talk social at the same time. Oh, because you don't. Now I'm giving away your age. She was born in 1912.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. Okay, tell me a little bit about your mom.
All right. My mom had a tough life. She married young and she lost her husband and she lost an infant child. So she was a widow when she was 27 years old. And that meant that we lived in poverty, really. But my mother was very positive. I wish you could have known her. As an example, she ran a post office in my little town of Sedu, and she was a telephone operator. And one year, she realized she made enough money to pay income tax. And she was so excited about that, she threw a little party. I paid enough money to pay income tax.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's the last time I've been to such a party. Have you ever been to one like that?
No. No, definitely not. I mean, that's awesome. Good for her. That's really cool. But at the same time, can you imagine that being a threshold? Wow. That's interesting.
Yes.
I wonder what that actual amount of money was. Because
You know, I wish we had kept notes on that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But in any case, there was another family where the lady was a widow with several children also. And a few years later, the child of the other widow said to us, "You know, we always envied you because your mother bought bread for you. And my mother just made her own."
Oh, wow.
So that just shows the different attitude.
Anyway, yeah.
The other thing I wouldn't mind mentioning about my mother was she always felt that we should live below our means. And we never had a decluttering problem like I have now, as you probably realize. She always followed one thing in and one thing out. So if you bought a pair of shoes, one pair of shoes went out. And I can't remember us ever having a decluttering problem.
Perhaps that's interesting.
Decluttering is a 2025 crisis.
Yeah, maybe. Sometimes they say it's from scarcity, when you felt like you didn't have enough stuff, so you hold on to your things. Actually, I heard the best thing about cluttering, and I just loved it, and it said that your clutter is delayed decisions.
Say that one again.
It's delayed. delayed decisions.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's another way of looking at it.
It really is, because you just don't feel like making a decision about it.
But I think my philosophy would work young mothers now, but my mother would always say, you can learn to cook later, but get
Oh, hang on. Mom, say it again.
My mother had an unusual, I think, philosophy. She'd always say to me, you can learn to cook later, but get your education now. And I was so afraid of being a widow that I promised myself I'm not going to get married until I have a degree. And I did follow through on that, but guess what? I got married a week after I got my degree. But I didn't waste much time.
Oh, but that's funny. You know what one of my favorite stories is about you talking about your mom was when you had those crazy snowstorms in your town in the 1930s, I think it was, or 40s maybe, and you said that the train couldn't come and couldn't bring supplies. Do you remember telling me about that one? Were at the hockey game?
We really had a bad storm and we had no train for 3 weeks. And as it happened, I was in grade 8 and I happened to have a medical in Regina. So I stayed with my aunts. And in our hometown, curling was our social life. And after 3 weeks, the train came through and whistled and whistled and whistled. And everybody in the curling rink cheered. I was the only one. I thought, now you come through after I finally get home. And this is no exaggeration. My uncle picked me up in Weyburn, which was 15 miles away. And the snow was as high as the telephone poles. I'm not kidding you. Unbelievable.
That's crazy. And you see pictures like that and how would you even dig out of that? I don't even understand how that would work.
Well, my uncle came with a sleigh and horses. And that's how I got home. But anyway, I guess there's something to say about a small town is that even though we were stormbound like that, there was a social life because everybody met at the curling rink.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did people who lived in town have horses?
No. But we, when I think about it, that's such a good question. We had, I guess you'd call it a hitching post. So farmers would drive into town and hitch their horse to the hitching post. And there was a sidewalk there. And of course, I think I've talked about our blind neighbor who lived next door to us.
No, I don't know.
Well, yes, we had a blind neighbor. He was in his late 60s and he lived next door to us with his mother. And my mother would always get upset because they had a well for drinking water. And this blind man would go down the ladder to the deep well, and he's blind. And my mother would get very concerned. Oh, I'll tell you something interesting about the blind gentleman, Peter. When I got married, I wanted to have him involved. And so I went over to his home, and I said, Peter, you can feel my wedding gown. So he felt my wedding gown. And then he went to the local store and said, did Roseville ever look beautiful? And maybe that's the only one that told me I looked beautiful. Oh, wasn't it? On my wedding day.
Aw, that's nice. Was he a man? Was he older than you or your age?
Well, no, he was in his 60s. And,
right. Okay.
And we grew up next to him.
Okay. Oh, wow. And your mom ran the post office and the phone operator thing. Okay, explain how that works, because people might not even know what the phone operator in a town did.
We had a switchboard, and we had about six different lines, and one family might have one ring, long ring and two short rings. Another family would have three rings and one short one, vice versa. So if neighbors would all be on the same line, and I remember my cousin saying that when she had a young fellow try to date her, everyone else on the line was listening. So that's just another aspect of a small town. But yeah, it was a good way of living, Pam. It was a good way.
Well, I remember we had that switchboard in our garage in Vermilion for...
Yeah, that's right. And, believe it or not, I tried to donate it to museums, but I guess museums were filled at that time. So to tell the truth, I'm not sure what happened to it. But, oh, I dearly love to have it. But it was an interesting life with your mother as a switchboard, because if there was a woman pregnant in the community, then my mother would keep the lines open all night.
Oh, wow. So, well, like, what does that mean? That means, like what does that mean, keep the lines open?
Well, that meant that my mother would answer the phone in case the doctor needed to be called or there was an emergency.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's really, really neat. And I mean, back then, people probably didn't have babies in hospitals, right?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say generally, yes. I was born in a hospital.
Oh, you were?
Yes. Unfortunately, I lost a sister between my younger sister and myself. I have forgotten what it was, but she was only about 4 days old.
Mm. Wow.
Was sad.
Yeah. We just watched The Empress on Netflix. And remember that part of the story of that show when lost Finch? Oh, that was awful. Spoiler alert. Anyway. Okay, let's go through some of your mom's philosophies. You said some of them. Study now, you can learn to cook later in life and live below your needs, something in, something out. That's good. Oh, and party time. I made enough to pay income tax. Tell me about this Weyburn Fair and no car.
Oh, well, the big thing in the summer was the fair in Weyburn. And of course, we didn't have a car. So we thought in our minds that everybody in the hometown went to the fair that had a car, except we were at home. So my mother always apologized for that. I think maybe that made an impression on me that I didn't want to be poor, and by golly, I was going to work my butt off. And so at that time, it seemed the way out of poverty was getting an education. So I can remember when I got my grade 12 marks, my Aunt Annie was so excited about my average. And I couldn't figure out why she's so excited. It's the same average I've had all through high school. And we all had ice cream cones because of my average. And I knew I'd get accepted to university.
So it was like a ticket to a better future.
Yeah. So I don't know if, I'm not sure you young mothers would emphasize education as much as we did. I'd find that interesting.
Now I think the baseline for education has changed so much that there is definitely an expectation for it. I think it is changing, though. I don't know what it'll be in 20 years, but I love you called me a young mother. Like, that ain't me, but
but I do think in some ways that we had it much easier because we knew we'd have I went into education and we knew we'd have a choice of jobs. It was which was the best one for us. And in my case, I took a job in a small country school because if I did that, I was granted so much extra money for doing that.
Neat. And did you have more than one grade in your school?
I think I might have had 6 grades, and of course you were evaluated as a teacher by how good your Christmas concert was. Back.
So did you have more than one grade in your school?
Yes, usually you had 5 or 6 grades, which was good training in multitasking, because while you're teaching one grade, you had to have the 4 other grades occupied productively. In any case, the big deal, you were evaluated as a teacher by how effective your Christmas concert was. So I can remember we'd start practicing for the concert in November. And unknown to me, or strange to me, I had 2 older students who were about 6 foot tall, one in grade 7 and one in grade 8. And my mother was so upset that as a young girl, I'd have such tall, strong men as my students. I thought that was strange. But anyway, that was the big deal.
That's interesting. So tell me about her leaving you in charge of the post office and the phone when you turned 16.
Oh, that was a big deal for me. My mother, my sister and I were both trained to work in the post office, but you had to be 16 officially to take charge. And so that was a big day for my mother when she could go visit her in-laws in Manitoba, and I would be in charge of the post office. I think I must have done a good job, but my uncle across the street from us was courting, and he insisted that we throw a party while my mother was away. You know, I kind of think young kids do that today too. Maybe that's a part of growing up.
Maybe. I don't know.
When my mother returned, she was suspicious because she smelled wax, and she said, "Why would you be waxing the floors?" And we had to admit we had a party while she was away. So that was
why. But why would she smell wax? What was the wax from?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, you said she smelled wax.
Well, I washed the floors after the party, and then at that time, I guess at that time we waxed the floors. Maybe you don't even know about waxing the floors. Well, you'd scrub the floor, and then you'd put wax on, and when the wax dried, then you'd polish it, so you had a nice, shiny linoleum.
Oh, linoleum.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say hardwood.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, I kind of have a vague memory of us waxing Vermilion's linoleum, but maybe not. Did we?
Well, perhaps after I lost my mother, perhaps you were, in my hometown of Sidhu.
Yeah, I was in Sidhu. I remember the sidewalks being wooden. Like they were kind of like pallets. They had, yeah.
They still could be that way.
Yeah, they could be. Yeah. And I remember the roads were dirt.
Well, you had a good memory there.
Yeah, I think I was little, though. We went for Uncle Joe's funeral. And I remember it was at the church at the top of a hill. And then I got to go to the free store, which I loved.
Yeah, that was a good family tradition. Maybe, do you remember going to the free store?
Oh, yeah. My aunt, it was my aunt and uncle, right? Or cousins, Joe and Valda had the store in this little, it really was a village, not even a town, right?
Yes.
And they had the store and they told me it was a free store. So I could just go in and pick whatever treats I wanted when we when we went to visit. And I remember them giving me a little brown bag and I could fill it up with my treats for the free store, which was so good, which is fun. And you know, I carried on that tradition, right? With yes. my own niece.
Tell our viewers about it.
Yeah. Well, my own niece, she has a little one, and I'm a clothing designer now and manufacture clothing, as you know, Mom. And so I made that be a free store for her little one. So I gave her the modern day version of the free store, which was a discount code, so she could go in and order as much as she wants for free, which has been cute. It's been cute to see him in his outfits.
I think we should keep that tradition going.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
maybe if you could go into jewelry and have a free store.
Be well received. Well, I am expanding into bags. So everyone will enjoy those when that comes around. Well, Mom, I think that was really awesome trip down memory lane. I love hearing the stories about the time when people got around with horse and carriage and hearing how dependent you were on the train. Like where I live, we don't even have a train anymore. The train's been torn out, but that's pretty neat memories. The next time you come and visit me, I want to take you on the train tour here because I think it'll trigger a whole bunch of memories for you. And that would be really, really fun.
But creating a memory is just one word I'd like to mention. As you know, you lost your aunt, which was my sister. And I'd like to offer something to our viewers. And that is, if you might find it awkward what to say when someone is grieving, such as I am these days. But you just say, I don't know what to say. And then you realize that your friend or acquaintance understands your grief.
Okay, well, that's a nice thought. Yeah, well, yeah, and that was a bit traumatic, losing your sister, for sure. I think that's one of the downsides of living till you're 91, Mom. You get to witness more other people passing away around you, and that's a burden, but...
On the other hand, I realize now that I would like to leave a contribution. And when I go to bed at night, I like to listen to a podcast by Stuart McLean. Maybe you remember him on Vinyl Cafe.
Yeah.
And I think he's been gone for 10 years. But every night when I listen to him, I think, how wonderful. 10 years after he's gone, he's still bringing joy to others' lives. And that might be the thought for today for me.
Yeah, and I might have to replay that for you the next time you are hesitant to do another podcast. Because I think it is extraordinarily valuable. And there's so many other people out there who have lost their senior in their life or their mother, the person who played that role in their life, and never really got to hear these stories or think about that time. And it's certainly valuable to me and will be to my kids and to their children. They can hear these stories. So I'm glad we're doing it. I think it's fun. So,
and you know, I never realized how many things I haven't said to you about my olden days. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
I realize that's a great thing we're doing. Anyway, I hope we can do it again soon.
I know. Well, we'll probably only have, 10 more years of making these? So, you know, I was just playing pickleball with a guy who was 91 years old, Mom.
Oh.
Yeah, he was 91. Yeah. All right. Well, next time I want to talk to you about that Instagram that I sent you about Jane Fonda and her talks about senior moments and us having to reframe what that means because she thinks we're being, you know, too derogatory about senior moments. And I just think, that's such a great philosophy. So you're going to have to do your homework and watch that link, and then we can discuss that next time. That'll be good.
I have lots of ideas on how we seniors can really enjoy life. So let's do it soon.
Okay, sounds good. All right, Mom. Love you. And thanks for joining me today and a talk with Mom.
Thank you for doing this, Mom.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Okay, bye-bye. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.